the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Ramadan Kareem to our Muslim listeners as well. We're still in the holy month of Ramadan, of course, and we are in the week before Pesach, which happens this year to fall exactly over the Easter weekend. So we have all of the three monotheistic religions celebrating very, very holy periods in the coming week. And in honor of Pesach, the Aviv Matzot factory in Bnei Brak has baked the world's largest matzah, 6 meters long, 1 meter wide, and weighs 6 kilograms. This was then presented to the president and his family at the presidential residence in Jerusalem in honor of Pesach. And it was brought along by members of the Wolf family, who are, I think, the seventh generation baking matzah in the Aviv bakery in Bnei Brak. And it's just a fantastic story of a family that's been involved in a business for so long here in Israel. And of course, I don't know who of you would be interested to taste a matzah, a piece of matzah that is 6 meters long and 1 meter wide.
What I'm impressed with is that they didn't break it. I can't keep my 40 centimeter matzah whole without it breaking.
Is matzah supposed not to break? Isn't it actually designed with those kind of little perforations on so that it breaks even as you look at it? Isn't that the whole idea of it?
I thought those perforations were so that it cooked. Because they've only got a certain amount of time in which to cook it.
It sort of looks to me like they're there to kind of allow you to, you know, break them in straight lines. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, very.
Like
very
something else we know, which I won't sort of draw an analogy to, but like your roller towel, for example. You know, it's got those little perforations that
roller
you break off.
Roller towel and matzah. So similar on so many levels, Anthony. All right, let's get serious for a minute. Israel's security situation remains tense following the terror attack in Tel Aviv that killed 3 people last week. What are the incidents that took place over the weekend?
Yeah, so for people who haven't really heard of the details of what went down on Thursday night, just to recap, I'm guessing that most people might have heard about it. A lone gunman approached a bar, the Ilka Bar in Tel Aviv, in Dizengoff Street, right in the center of where the party happens in Tel Aviv, and on a Thursday night, which of course is a weekend night, walked into a bar and simply began to open fire randomly towards people who happened to be in the bar. 3 people, unfortunately, were killed in this incident, 2 of them pretty much at the scene. A third man had been taken to hospital. He was operated on overnight on Thursday night, but unfortunately during the course of the day on Friday it was announced that he had passed away as well. Another dozen people were injured. The gunman himself escaped the scene. There were pictures on TV showing IDF soldiers combing the immediate vicinity of Dizengoff Street and the side streets around that area, looking for the gunman who had escaped the scene successfully. There were some video images of him from CCTV cameras around the area that showed that he was carrying a backpack that identified what he looked like. They were looking for him. Ultimately, he was not found in the vicinity at all, but he'd already managed to escape to Jaffa, where he was accosted by Shabak operatives who went along there to look for him. They apparently had received some intelligence that there was something happening which was a little out of the ordinary in that area. So they went away from the immediate search area around that Dizengoff Street area, and they found him in a mosque where he'd taken cover in Jaffa. A shootout ensued. He started firing towards the security services as they approached him. They ordered him to lay down his weapon, which initially it looked like he might do, and then he decided against it and began to shoot towards them. He was shot in the incident and was killed at that moment, and effectively that immediate security incident was brought to an end, that terror attack, unfortunately with the loss of life that I've already described. 2 childhood friends out in a bar together in Tel Aviv, shot next to each other, killed at the scene. Israel's national kayaking coach and the coach of the Paralympic kayaking team from Kibbutz Ginosar, a father of three, was also killed in the incident. So that was what went down on Thursday. And of course, as a result of that, the security forces responded. The man himself and his family came from Jenin. The security forces went into Jenin, approached his family. They seemed to be quite uncooperative with the security forces. There was a report that his brothers had been shot towards the security forces over the weekend, shot towards a car that was carrying his brothers. We understand that one of them was injured in the incident. The car, I think, seemed to have escaped. The man's father has also been called upon to give himself up to the security forces, but he seems at the moment not to be willing to cooperate with that. So we have a situation where the man's family, the terrorists' families, not being particularly cooperative with our security forces. All very, very bad news. And of course, this has created a sense of insecurity. The security forces onto higher alert. A woman running towards security forces at a checkpoint was shot dead as a result of coming towards them. One incident where a woman was unarmed, another incident where a woman actually was armed. Both women were shot in those incidents. A mentally unstable and mentally ill Jewish Israeli man had escaped from a psychiatric facility in Ashkelon and approached a female soldier at a checkpoint. He took her weapon away from her, brandishing a toy gun. Another soldier at the in that area shot him right away. He was unfortunately killed in that incident. And so we have a situation where things are very, very nervous, and that any little thing will generate a response from our security services in a very uncompromising way. And unfortunately, as a result of that, there are innocent people who will be killed, who behave slightly out of the ordinary. But at the moment, any little action is considered to be a danger to our security and a danger to life and limb, as a result of which people are very much on edge, and any little thing that happens will be reacted. There were reports of some vandalism towards Joseph's tomb, which is situated in the city of Nablus. And unfortunately, what then happened last night, unrelated to the vandalism, that vandalism took place on Saturday night in the city of Shechem, in the city of Nablus, where Joseph's tomb is situated. Today, this morning, we understand that two Hasidim decided to break into Joseph's tomb without getting the correct required security detail to help them, to protect them. They were shot by gunmen around the area of the city of Nablus. They somehow managed to escape and make themselves known to security forces, who then gave them emergency first aid treatment and evacuated them to hospital. So at the moment, the situation very much feels like it's on a knife edge. Any little thing that happens is likely to generate a response. And of course, our security services are in uncompromising mood in terms of any little thing that goes on will clearly get a response from them.
Anthony, two things. One, I looked at the photograph of the terrorist who was responsible for the Tel Aviv attack. And he looked like a really sweet young man. He didn't look like a terrorist. He didn't look like the 9/11 terrorist. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't look. He looked like somebody who would just fit into normal Israeli society. And I just look at it and I just think, what a waste. Things could have turned out so differently for him and obviously for the victims.
Well, I think there are two comments to make. First of all, what does a terrorist really look like? Do we have this predetermined idea that a terrorist comes with evil in his eyes and with a certain look upon his face and with certain dress code? No. And, you know, as you say, this was a man who was walking with trousers and a T-shirt. He had a little backpack on his back, which is extremely normal for that part of Tel Aviv. You walk down Dizengoff Street on a Thursday night, looking like that, nobody would look twice at you. You would look like you absolutely blend into the crowd. And that's exactly what he did. When we had a look at the CCTV footage that was shown on our TVs on Thursday night, it was impossible to separate him from the rest of the crowd who were out enjoying their weekend and just having a little bit of social time. So there's no real look that we can attribute to a terrorist, to someone who's going to carry out an attack. And you're right, because it's an extreme waste, because a man like him could potentially do something quite useful. There is so much cooperation that's going on at the moment across the Palestinian Authority area, across Gaza with Israel, people working and creating and doing good things. And unfortunately, some people choose not to take that path. And we have to be aware of it and ready to protect ourselves against them as well.
Yeah. What a waste. What an absolute waste. Okay, Anthony, let's get on to some other stories. Israeli President Isaac Herzog yesterday spoke to Israel's first astronaut on the International Space Station, Eitan Stib. So what have we heard about the liftoff to space, the events on the International Space Station? Update us. Give us the inside story.
I was watching the liftoff on Friday afternoon with Eitan Stib and his fellow crew members, four of them, on SpaceX Dragon. It all went really, really smoothly. It was an amazingly impressive liftoff. SpaceX are doing such a fantastic job of their program that they have. The Dragon itself is an impressive vehicle. The journey to the International Space Station seemed to work out well. It was approximately a 20-hour journey. There are some photographs of the 11 people who are currently on the International Space Station. Just out of interest, Eitan Stib has actually paid for his own ride into space. This is a privately funded initiative with a part of the group is called AX1 that has put this privately funded initiative together. All of those people who are riding on the Dragon and have reached the International Space Station of financing themselves. They are all philanthropists, having done particularly well in whatever area of life. Eitan Stib himself was a former Israeli Air Force pilot and also an investor and philanthropist in his own right. He is Israel's second man in space, following in the footsteps of Ilan Ramon, and of course their first Israeli onto the International Space Station. President Herzog was very excited to go along to a group of people who were working together with Eitan Stib to fulfill all the scientific experiments that he's conducting in space. And a lot of children were there to see what's happening on the International Space Station. And of course, the president joined them and had a chance to speak to Israel's first astronaut in the International Space Station. And of course, he was very excited to talk about some of the science work that he's going to be doing. This is called the Rakia mission, the Israeli group that has been put together to support Eitan Stib is called Rakia. Rakia, of course, a word that we might recognize from the Tanakh, the heavens. That's the word that's used, Rakia ala shamayim. We know that that's something that comes from our heritage. And of course, Eitan Stib is very much linked in to the heritage. He's taken a piece of Ilan Ramon's journal that survived the Discovery explosion and that fell to Earth, and he's kept that with him and he's taken it to the International Space Station. A lot of science going on, a lot of excitement around this, and very, very good news for Israel in general.
Amazing. Anthony, that is where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. I just do want to tell you before you go, Mavis Rosenstein. Thank you, Mavis. Sending you two kisses for your lovely message. She says, we're absolutely correct about the reason for the holes in matzah. It's to make sure that they bake fully. And there you have it. It is 8 o'clock. That was Anthony Reich. He's our Israel correspondent. You can catch his next report tomorrow morning, same time, same place.